I know all of you admit you are Jews, and you mean it, and everybody accepts it. But I, coming from a Jewish country, speaking Jewish, Hebrew is Jewish, not what you call here Jewish, or Hebrew would be rather more correct to say. Even if it were more correct to say Vrit, but they changed it a little, I can't help it. Just as you say, David, my name is David, not David. And King David was called David, not David. And I had a friend, an American, he told me not to call him his family name, but by his fire name. I said, what's the name? Jacob. I said, if you want me to call your name, I will call you Yaakov, not Jacob. And me, you should call not David, but David. And when he sent me a letter, he always signs in Hebrew, Yaakov. This is the only word which he signs in Hebrew, because he cannot read. Nice sign, David. So really, what is being a Jew? This is a very serious question. Because if behind the name there is nothing, it's a question, will it last? And the question, will it last, is not a new question. When the second Commonwealth was destroyed, we had two Commonwealths. The first Commonwealth from coming to the land of Israel to the 6th century BC, and the second Commonwealth, which was destroyed about 100 BC. Since then, you were dispersed throughout the world. But the Jew then was, he observed the Jewish law. And they made special laws, which were not in the Torah. Although the tradition says, all the things which they from made new commandments, it was a tradition from Moses. Well, I prefer to say Moshe, not Moses. Well, after all, Moshe was his name, and he was the greatest Jewish leader, and the greatest Jewish prophet. I will call him by his name, not by the name which the Goyim gave him. Moshe. Although I doubt whether really it is true that he gave two Torah, one in writing and one in saying. But this is the Talmudic tradition that the Tariq Mitzvot was given by Moshe, but not in writing, but it was by tradition. But these new laws were made, and that they were made anew, there is a story even in the Talmud. That God said to Moshe once, in the future time there will arise a great Jew whom I would give the Torah if I have been given to you. So Moshe said, I would like to see him. God said, all right, go to that place and you will see him. And what he meant was Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest Tanaim. And he came to his Bet Midrash, to his school, and was sitting there and listening what he's teaching. And he didn't understand what he's saying. So he was a little, felt very badly. He didn't understand what he's saying. And then one of his students asked him, where did you take that law? And Rabbi Kiva said, Shalacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. It was given in Sinai through Moshe. And Moshe understood what it is. That means they knew that they made new laws, but even Moshe didn't know them. But they said to the people, it's halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. Because they made many laws in order the Jew should not be assimilated with non-Jews. Their way of life should be quite different from their neighbors. But in order to keep it, they said it is given in Sinai, but not in writing, but traditionally. And this kept the Jews for many hundreds of years, although they didn't live in their country, they didn't speak anymore their language, because Jews changed their language many times. Even when the Second Temple, there were a great Jewish community in Alexandria, about 1 million Jews. They all spoke Greek. And they were the first who translated the Bible into Greek. The Greek translation of the Bible was perhaps the first and only translation which was made in ancient times. Before that, they used mostly Aramaic, which is also a Semitic language, quite little differs a little from Hebrew. Later, many of them spoke Arabic. And our greatest wise men, like Maimonides, few of you have read it, but you heard the name, I imagine, Maimonides, Rambam. Usually Jews call him Rambam, but the guy call him Maimonides, he was the son of Maimon. He wrote his philosophic work, which is one of the best philosophical works in the Middle Ages, in Arabic. And so did Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, one of the greatest Jewish poets. Poetry he wrote in Hebrew. But he wrote also a philosophical book. It was a conversation between a king of Chazarim and a Jew. He wrote it also in Arabic, because then the Jews spoke Arabic. Later, Jews spoke in France French, with a great commentator of the Bible, Rasha. Perhaps some of you heard Rasha, the name. You didn't learn, perhaps. He was the greatest commentator of the Bible. He used, when he couldn't explain in Hebrew words what it means, so he gave it in French. But then it was a little different French than ours, but it was nearly to French. Because the Jews spoke French, and they spoke different languages. I remember when I came the first time, some 60 years ago, to Jerusalem, the Jews in Jerusalem spoke 40 different languages. But still they knew, all of them, that they have one language which is theirs, and this was Hebrew. Many thought it's a dead language, but it was not really, it cannot be said it was a living language because it wasn't spoken, but it was not dead. All the poetry was written in Hebrew. The prayer was always made by Jews in Hebrew. At that time, they hadn't yet got the Reform Judaism, and the prayers were made purely Hebrew, even by those who didn't understand what they are saying. As I found out when I came once to America, and I went to a Orthodox synagogue, one was having mafter, and that mafter was a purely Zionist article. So when he came down, I asked him, did you understand what you said? He said, no, I didn't. I don't know words. He knew only to read. But they knew they'd have a Hebrew language. And these two things, the laws in which they differ from their surroundings, and the knowledge that they belong to the Jewish people, that they have their own country, which they believed and hoped to go back to that country, although they were not living there. And they were not living there for hundreds of years. This kept Jewishness. Now it differs, especially in this country. You have here the greatest Jewish community we ever had in the diaspora. But not only the greatest in numbers, also the greatest in richness. This is the richest Jewish community we ever had. And also the most politically influential community, because you are equal in rights. And I don't know how it is now, but I know when I came the first time to this country, it was 52 years ago, the Jews was concentrated in a few big states, and they could decide, as you have only two parties, they could decide which one should be elected. Jews in America have the greatest political influence they ever had in any other country. And while there may be or there may not be anti-Semitism, but if I were living in America and be a Jew like you, I wouldn't care if you're anti-Semitic, an anti-Semite. Although when I was the first time, I went to a friend of mine when I was the first time in America, I went to Connecticut State, they had their farm, and there I saw an advertisement, and it was said the first word was, either limited or something like that. I asked him, what does it mean? They told me it means it cannot be sold to Jews. I said, what? There is not complete equality in this country? He said, yes, by the law, but he may not sell to Jews. I said, can you stand that? And I said, they couldn't understand why I'm so angry about it. They were used already to it. But I couldn't be used to it because I came from a country where I had the feeling I'm in my own country. What, I discriminate between me? But on the whole, no, I don't know whether this last. Now, there are places where they will not sell a house to a Jew. I know, but it was so sometime. But in spite of that, Jews had equal rights. And if, in addition to all that, you don't know what is a Jew, there is a grave danger that Jews will be assimilated. And I know there is a process of assimilation going on in America. But as you say, I'm a Jew, that shows that you are worried. You want to preserve Jewishness. How will you do it? Well, I know you will not accept my answer, and I will not tell it, because there is a saying in the Talmud, just as you ought to say something which people will listen to, you shouldn't say something which they will not listen to. And you understand what I mean. But remaining here, and I know that even the best Jews will do what I want them to do, and I believe they can and may do it, still the great majority will remain here. But the question is, will they remain as Jews or not? This is a very serious question. When I came the first time to America, I had a friend. He told me there will be no assimilation because of 5 cents. I was amazed, why 5 cents? He said, very simple. Jews are living together in Williamsburg, in New York, in other places, and there are enough boys and young Jewish girls and young Jew boys. To marry a Goya, he must pay 5 cents and go with the elevator. At that time, there was an elevator in New York, or with subway to look for a Christian girl. Why? Why must he spend 5 cents? If I... But no, things have changed. They are not living all together, and he must not spend 5 cents to look for a Christian girl. Because he goes to university, and there he'll find boys, Jewish boys and Jewish girls, and non-Jewish boys and non-Jewish girls. And there is a real danger of assimilation. And I ask the question, what is a Jew? And as it, you must, and I will say briefly, what in my view ought to be a Jew here. And not only those who will come to Israel. This is what I would prefer. But I know you prefer to remain here. Unless you teach your children Hebrew. Unless they're capable and willing to know the Hebrew Bible and know the Hebrew history, and they will know what maintained the Jews throughout history when they were in their land and they were few and there were many enemies, what maintained the Jews the last 2,000 years when they were persecuted in every country and hated, and they are the only people who remained with the, under these conditions, and what was it brought them back to their own country after 2,000 years, no state in our time, in no other time, was established under the same condition as the Jewish state. Only when you will know that, this is the answer, what is a Jew? Hebrew education, knowing Hebrew Bible and Jewish history, and personal contact, even those who will not go to live there, personal contact with the Jewish country, with Israel. There you will see certain things of which I can tell you, you will be proud that you have a Jewish community who are doing these things which are not being done in any part of the world. As this time is short, I'm not going into that. Unless you give this answer, really, I don't know what is a Jew. Those who are observing, they are Jews. I know, because this was the answer which they gave for the last 800 years. But there are many who are not observing. And I'm afraid the majority are not. But even those who are observing, I am not quite sure whether their children will observe. I am coming from a little town in Russia where almost all the Jews were observing Jews. But all their children became at the Korsen. None of them was observing, and they went to live in Israel. And their fathers were so fanatically observing, they believe it's a crime. A man who doesn't want to stay until Messiah is coming and bringing all the Jews there, he's not a Jew. There was one case when the boy went to to the land of Israel, he kara kriya, as if he died, and sit down for 7 days on the earth, he never asked whether he's alive, his son is alive in Israel or not. Because he considered this the greatest crime. Although he was very fanatical, very devoted to observance, but his children were not. And I'm afraid that even the Rabbi of Satmar, have you heard that name? The most fanatical Jew who is living in America, I'm not quite sure that his grandchildren will be observed Jews. Because I know all my friends became free-thinking and went to Israel, their fathers, except my father. They were all Hasidim, very observant. But the boys were not. And the same thing may happen here. And I'm sure those who are sitting here, that their fathers were observing, but I doubt whether you will find here 10% observant Jews. So this alone is not an answer, although an observant Jew is a Jew. If one will tell me, I'm an observant Jew, that's an answer. Then he's a Jew. But then he believes in Israel, that Israel is his country, not America. If he doesn't believe in that, he's not an observant Jew.